that as we think about sin and what it really means to me. The sad reality, I think sin often touches us more than we eat, more than we drink. Many times as believers, when we think about sin, we think about the big sins. In our minds, we call them the big sins. We've learned that certain sins are more wrong. Now, to a degree, we get that in a right sense because we grow up learning that consequences to sin is different. The consequence for stealing a cookie as a kid is different than the consequences of robbing a bank. Quite a bit. And so in our minds, we say, okay, so that's a smaller sin, that's a bigger sin. And in one sense, we're correct. But before God, sin is sin. And whether it's stealing the cookie or robbing the bank, all sin condemns us to hell. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God doesn't say, it's only those who've committed murder get to go to hell. It's only those who rob banks or do the big sins. But that's why a little kid can get saved. When they come to the point of understanding, my sin is real, and there are consequences for my sin. That's why when I was 4.5 years old, and I was in a summer Bible club for a week, a vacation Bible school out at a park, that God worked in my heart and I got saved. Because my parents had taught me sin is wrong, and they taught that with consequences. I'm thankful I don't remember all the spankings that I got as a kid. I remember one, and I never laughed at my mom again when she tried to spank me. But sin is sin, and there are consequences for sin. But sometimes as adults, when we think about sin, we look at the kids, or we look at those who commit sin regularly, and we don't think about ourselves. And what does my sin do before God? Not just what is the sin of that person before God. Man, they need to get right with God. Man, I hope God will work in their heart. And we sure can hope and pray God works in others' hearts. But the reality is we must view our sin for what it is. Sin is wicked. And we can go one step further than that and say, my sin is wicked. In fact, let's do that. Let's say it together. My sin is wicked. It is. But in my mind, I so often think, it's not that big. But wow, how timely this magazine came across my desk. One of the articles in this magazine, a pastor was dealing with a sinful situation that happened in his church. A tough situation that they ended up dealing with. It blew up. Sad situation. And it all began with what we would call a little sin. And what that little sin did to this man's family. It ended up, ultimately, his wife ended up losing her life. Not from some disease, but because of his sin. And it affected multiple people in the church. Because of a little dishonesty that he started. And that as he was confronted when his pastor confronted him with it, he's just kidding, not a big deal. That's where it began in that church. But really, it had history in his life before that. Another article in this magazine, a pastor humbled himself willingly and said, okay, so this is some sin that began from a little sin in my life where he embezzled I don't know how much from his church. Sadly, he was told by his lawyer that if you do these things, hopefully it'll end up in a plea bargain deal where you won't have to go to prison for it. I mean, because he God worked in his heart, praise God. Before he got caught, he gave himself in and said, God has convicted me of my sin, I can't go on. And it was devastation. I mean, he had been involved in that church as a young man. And as a teenager, went on staff as assistant pastor, became the senior pastor, and it affected that, and they had to leave the ministry and so much. Ended up, he went to prison for 2 years in California because his little sin went unchecked. I don't know what it is in your life. You do. Our little sins are very destructive. My sin is wicked. On a Sunday night in Florida, an animal that we think of when we think of Florida decided to go to Walmart. It was an alligator. Walmart, alligators don't generally mix. But because of the state that they were in, the Walmart was there and the alligator liked it. Well, people didn't like it, and so and the store stayed open, but you know how Walmart has doors that you step in front of the sensor and it opens up? So they locked some of these doors because they didn't want the alligator walking into the store. The police came and they kind of blocked off the area and tried to keep it, you know, so no one would go in the area. And they had called a trapper. And by the time the trapper got there, the alligator was already off in the woods. If we would only treat our little sins that way, and we would deal with them before it becomes a massive situation where this alligator is in the store breaking things up and scaring people and hurting people, whatever. What is my sin that God wants to root out of my life? The psalmist prays, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways. See if there be any wicked way in me." Before we get into the word this morning, I want us to spend some personal time in prayer, asking God to work in our hearts this morning. Thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you do to us and for us. God, so often we don't see our sin as truly wicked before you. Remind us in James, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so God, we just pray that this morning, would you show us our sin as hard and as hurtful as that can be, as ugly as it is? Because God, we don't want that to rule and reign in our lives. We want you to make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The only way that we can grow together as a church family is as we deal with our sin on an individual basis. Sin is not a fun topic. Sin is not, let's go feel good. But when we deal with our sin, it brings rejoicing. When we deal with sin, it changes our life. Many preachers today will never deal with sin. It's only a feel-good message. And I love those kind of messages. But the reality is we must deal with sin for what it is, and my sin. And as we look at Joshua chapter 7 this morning, we're reminded that individual sin destroys life. I don't know what sin you struggle with. I don't have to. You do and God does. But your sin will destroy your life in a way that you will never imagine. The old cliche that it will take you, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, it'll take you further than you wanted to go, it'll cost you more than you wanted to pay. It's an old cliche, but it's so true. Achan never wanted to go to the place where he destroyed his family because of a little bit of lust. But it did. Achan never would have wanted to go to a place where 36 of his fellow soldiers died because of his sin of just stealing. I mean, these people were dead anyway. But God said, don't take from that. This stuff belongs to me. And Achan and his lust took it. And it destroyed his life. It destroyed 36 men. It destroyed his family because his little sin went unchecked. We're reminded in James that sin begins in our heart. It takes root in our heart and our minds with that little temptation. And if we would only treat temptation like those Walmart employees treated that alligator and blocked it off and locked it up and said, I don't want it. I'm going to call the trapper to get rid of it. Well, who's the one to take care of our sin? It's God. In Sunday school, in our adult or in the auditorium class here, we were dealing with that reality that the government isn't our hope for life. No other person can be my hope for life. The reality is it's only God. He is the only solution that I have for sin. And if Achan would have realized that before his sin became what it was, it would have changed history. If Achan would have acknowledged his sin, it would have made a difference in his life and in his family's life for generations to come. Because his family wasn't anymore. It would have made a difference in those 36 men's families who lost their daddy and their husband because of his sin. And I don't know that because of my sin or your individual sin, whatever it is, that 36 men are going to die or that our families are going to all die and be destroyed. We're reminded of Ananias and Sapphira and how their lives were taken for their sin, and fear passed upon all the church because they realized sin is wicked before God. The sin with Ananias and Sapphira of lying is bad, but it wouldn't be what we would say is a big sin. The sin of Achan of taking some stuff from dead people wouldn't be what we would say is a big sin. But God wants us to know that any sin is wicked. Any sin. Number one, my sin can be hidden for a while. My sin can be hidden for a while. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and again, seeing his lineage is important as we come to it a little further in the chapter, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. God knew it, but no one else did. Verse 2, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is not very far, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Sherebim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. There was a time that no one else knew Achan's sin. Maybe his family, and that's what we can see a little bit later. But besides that, his sin was hidden from public eye. Only God knew. Joshua and the Israelites went forward as they had been going forward. We remember as they crossed over the Jordan River and the victory that God brought, they stepped across on dry ground. We remember as Joshua sent spies to Jericho and how they spied, and these two spies said, God can do it. And they went in faith. We remember how they were commanded to march around the city and how God destroyed the city and the walls of the city and gave them victory over the people. And so they're saying, hey, look what God has done. Look what God has done. Look what God has done. Man, this isn't a very big city. 3,000 people to take the city, no problem. When we think of armies, we think, oh, that's not much. When we think of us, 3,000 is a lot of people. We don't have 1,000 here. 3,000 people to go and take the city Ai. Not a big deal. Again, these spies, these men that were sent, they understood battle to a degree. They had fought with Jericho. They understood population to a degree. And so these, hey, 3,000 will be more than we need. Look what God's done in the past. But there was something they did not know. And that was about Achan's sin. And they didn't know what the consequences would be for that sin. The truth of our sin being hidden for a while is both good and bad. Aren't you thankful that your sin is not known to everybody in this room? Your bad attitudes, your anger, your thoughts, your whatever it may be. Not everybody knows. What a blessing. Man, talk about a weight. But the sad reality that we don't commonly grasp is that God knows. My sin is seen before a holy God. My sin. Not just those who go to jail and get caught. But my sin. Whatever, however little it may be in my mind, is seen before God. And so the good thing is not everybody knows. The bad thing is not everybody knows. And often we see the reality that, man, when I'm around other people, I'm not going to act that way. But when I'm alone with my family or I'm alone and no one is watching, I can do this because nobody knows. We don't see God for who He really is. My sin is wicked. And the only hope and cure for that is God. And if Achan would have only taken God early on and seen that, my sin can be hidden for a while because people around me will go on with life. And it can affect our families. Our family may know, and yet they just go on with life. But there comes a point where too much is too much. and it builds up and it builds up, and we try to bury things under rugs, and then we trip over them, and it destroys our family. And that's what happens in Achan's life. But it was a little sin. But God said it's wicked. People make plans for everyday life. Life will go on. Now, the sad reality, when we see people with big sins, people who've embezzled from companies, or people who have done wicked things with other individuals, and however we may look at this, when we see those, I mean, we think, man, what a sad situation. But it always started with a little sin. The biggest fear in my life is me. That has been the biggest fear in my life. I am scared that someday I will walk away from God. I don't want to. I want to walk with God. I want to please God with my life. But I am scared because my heart, like the songwriter says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Man, God, would you bind me to you? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. My little sins will lead to big sins. And my little sins are known by God. They may be hidden from other people. They'll go on with life like normal until someday. People around me might notice consequences before they know that I've sinned. I mean, that's what happened in Achan's life. Yes, there were consequences. I mean, 36 men. Joshua's like, God, what is going on? You just gave us this huge victory over Jericho. And now we go to little Ai. And 36 men die. God, what are people going to think of you? But God said, God is not just a God of love, but he's a God of justice. And he loved Achan. And he loved the nation of Israel, but he did not want sin to go unchecked. He didn't want sin to just reign. The Apostle Paul says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. If I give room to a little sin, it'll grow. Sugar. How many of you like sugar? I like sugar. Sugar tastes good. Now, we kind of have done a different thing. Overall, we've taken away white sugar from our diet. And brown sugar and all that kind of stuff. And we cook with some of these different things. And man, at first, Karen talked to me about this, I don't know how many years, and I'm like, there's no way. And yet, as we've worked through this, it's like, oh, I see, that's really not that difficult once we got into it. But then, once I taste sugar again, it does something to me. But that's what our sin does. You know, we may say, okay, God has given me victory over this, and then we taste a little bit of sin of this aspect. And that made me feel good for at least that minute. Because sin is fun. Anybody else agree? Sin is fun? Doesn't the Bible teach us that? In Hebrews, there is pleasure in sin, but only for a season. Sometimes that season lasts a half a second. And then it's like, oh, what did I do? Why did I say that? It felt good. Very briefly. And then the guilt of that. Achan, man, he didn't even get to enjoy his stuff he took. It was buried in the ground. It was hidden to the people. They did not know. They went on with life. They knew the consequences, and Joshua's saying, God, what is going on? Verse 6, and Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Why is it that the Jericho, the people who lived in Jericho, why were they scared when they saw the children of Israel coming? It wasn't the children of Israel. They said, look what the Lord has done. And so now Joshua's like, God, what's going to happen to your name because of this situation? You've allowed this, and man, what are they going to think of you? That's what our thought should be when we see our sin. God, what's going to be with your name? What is my sin going to do to your name? What is it going to accomplish? how it may make me feel good or help me for a minute, but beyond that, what's it going to do? My sin will. Might be hidden for a while. People will not necessarily know, but God knows. Joshua still at this point is saying, God, why? Verse 10, the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath what? Sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. And God goes through that. People may wonder why certain negative things happen and may not know the sin is there. Why is this going on, God? Now, just because difficulties in life happen doesn't mean there is unconfessed sin. Because someone has cancer doesn't mean that individual has unconfessed sin. Because someone got sick doesn't mean there's unconfessed sin. God can use some of those things. God can use natural consequences for our sin. But we live in a sin-cursed world, and we all are under the curse. And so there is sin. There is tough things that happen. In fact, John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, the disciples were asking Jesus about that blind man. So who has sinned? His father? His mother? And in John chapter 9, Jesus answers them and says, really, it wasn't them. John chapter 9, and Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Blindness. Was that something God created? Oh, I want this person to be blind. But he's allowed it in our sin-cursed world. Sometimes those things happen. But sometimes there are those consequences to sin that God allowed with the children of Israel after the battle of Ai, and 36 men were killed in this battle. Why, God? And God says, his sin was hidden from people, but it wasn't from me. Number one, my sin can be hidden for a while. Number two, my sin will hurt people around me. My sin will hurt people around me. My sin will hurt people around me. I may be able to hide it from people for a while. Some sins no one may even know. But maybe they wonder, what is going on? Why are they like that? Why is that going on in their life? That pastor that was involved with embezzlement, how did that happen? He kept it hidden so well and so long. But what a blessing. God worked in his heart before he got caught. And man, he had repentance, not just because he was caught. He had repentance and turned himself in. My sin, do I confess it to God, or do I just simply wait for others to know about it? So then I have to, hey, I'm sorry. That's the easy thing to do, right? Because it's so much easier to cover our sin. Putting down carpet, putting up wallpaper, cover stuff on the walls, it covers stuff on the floor. Trying to cover up sin in our lives. It can happen for a while. My sin can be hidden for a while. But number two, my sin will hurt people around me. And that was going on here. It hurt the people outside of Achan's family. Who did it hurt? 36 families? 36 families. Now, we're not talking 36 individuals. We could look around and say 36. But think about 36 families. My family has 8 people in it. That's just one family. Maybe yours has 4. So then there's 12, and that's only 2 families. I mean, think about the numbers of people who are affected by Achan's sin. And it was a little sin in our minds. He stole from dead people. But God said to dedicate this stuff to him. My sin will hurt people around me. People outside of my family. People I work with. The fellow soldiers of Achan's, they were affected. People I'm in the community with. The fellow soldiers' family that Achan was around. And it may not have only been the tribe of Judah that it affected. Other tribes might have had some of the men and their families die. What? Why? God had done great things in Jericho. Man, this sin affected people outside of his family. But man, Achan's sin affected his family. God says in verse 13 to Joshua, he says, "Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you." And the morning, and so then God goes through and tells him what to do and how to find the sin. The reality is, Joshua doesn't find the sin, does he? If you're familiar with this story, and we don't have time to read through this historical event here, but what happens here is God tells Joshua to call a family, and he's going to point, or call the tribes, there are 12 tribes, call them before you, and then God would reveal which tribe. And then God's going to call the family out of that, have the men, the leaders of that come out, and he's going to call that family. Then he's going to call the family. I mean, man, this is a big process. What was going on in Achan's heart before all of this? Wondering, I know what I did. And here are all these people being marched before. Everyone in the nation knew what was going on because of his little sin in his mind that he justified. And so he goes on. Verse 15, "And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel." So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he goes through this process, taking the tribe and the family. Verse 20 and Achan, verse 19, "And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now, what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. What did you do?" Didn't God ask Adam and Eve, what have you done? God knew what they did. God didn't need them to teach him. But he was convicting their hearts. Many times in accusations hardens a heart. Questions will prick the conscience. Joshua's saying, what have you done? And so verse 20, Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have," what's that word? "I didn't make a mistake. It was a little mess up." Man, I've been challenged. My wife, we were talking, I don't even know how it was or when it was. It was a while ago. You ever use the word, "I'm frustrated"? Because that doesn't sound as bad as angry. Right? I don't know how it was, but we were talking about this, and man, that has challenged me. I really try not to use frustrated, because when I realize what I am, that is sin. It's anger. It's not just my frustration. It's my anger that's coming out. But I try to use a gentler word so it's not as hard on my mind. Right? Don't we try to justify our sin? Not that bad. But Achan says, "I have what? Sinned." Couldn't we all honestly say right now, "I have sinned"? It may not be some huge thing. We're not talking about a huge thing. My sin is what? Wicked. Say that again together. My sin is wicked. Man, doesn't that hurt? Like that cuts to my heart deep. And man, I'm thinking over this last week and how I've responded to my kids. Man, my sin is wicked. We need to take care of our sin before God. My sin will be hidden for a while. But number two, my sin will hurt people around me. It'll hurt the fellow people around. It'll hurt our church. It'll hurt our individual family as he's going through. Verse 21, he said, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it." They're still hid. He didn't even get to spend it. People who rob a bank often don't really get to spend it, do they? They're caught too fast. And here Achan, he didn't even enjoy his sin. Consequences are there. He's got to keep it hidden. I mean, where'd you get all that money? Where'd you get that nice garment? We just came over the river. I mean, where'd it come from? We've been wandering. I mean, everybody's going to know. How long is he going to have to keep that sin hidden and buried? Well, God knew about it. He couldn't bury it. So Joshua sent messengers, verse 22, to the tent to find it. Verse 23, they took them out of the midst of the tent. They brought them back to Joshua. Verse 24, Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen and his asses, and his sheep and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. My sin will be hidden for a while. My sin will hurt people around me. Man, the people around me, my family. I mean, the people couldn't even stand against the enemy. It was said in verse 12, the visible enemy, the men of Ai. But who is the invisible enemy? Satan himself. We will never stand against Satan and have victory over sin unless we yield to God. How's God going to give us victory over sin if I'm hiding sin over here? If I'm just clinging to it and I don't want to change? It's one thing to confess and forsake and struggle with it and confess and say, God, I need your help. But it's another just to say, this is who I am. That's my personality. We can justify all sorts of things in our minds. But it's wicked. Sin, my sin, is wicked. And we don't see that enough. We don't think about that enough. Satan does not want God's people to have victory. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. My hands are dirty, are yours? Man, my biggest fear is that I'll walk away from God someday. I don't want to walk away from God. Not just because I don't want all of you to look and say, what happened to Pastor Josh? I love God. I want to please God with my life. I walk away from God. What does that do to God's name? Before you, in Stockbridge, in Munith. But if you walk away from God, what does that do before you, in Stockbridge, in Munith, and the people you work with in your family? My sin is wicked, and it affects our families. It affects the people around us. And number three, my sin will destroy my life. We can hide it for a while. It will hurt people around us, but it will destroy my life. Now, it may not end in physical death. But isn't that what God told Adam and Eve about their sin? The day that thou eatest of that tree, thou shalt surely what? Your sin will destroy your life. From the little sins to the big sins. Don't let it. Satan will, he's roaming about, seeking whom he may what? Do you want him to really devour you? But we give him a little foothold because, man, that's just my anger. I just struggle with that. I mean, and sometimes we even go as far to admit we struggle with it. Man, I struggle with that. And we just go on with life. But do we really strive to have victory? If Achan, where did his sin start? What did he tell Joshua? I saw and I coveted. It began in his heart. My sin, no one will know. Jeffrey Dahmer said the same thing. Only you older ones remember him. And it began as he was questioned in prison years later. Why did you do those things? It began with what he saw and what he wanted. And ended up mutilating people and destroying life. I'll never do that. Won't you say with me, man, I'm never going to do that big sin, whether it's his or somebody else's. Don't we say that? Or am I the only one who says that? God's word says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. My sin is wicked. If Achan had only said that, while he was thinking, oh, I want that. Wow, that looks so nice. And if he would have only said, man, God said no. God, I'm struggling. Would you help me? You ever cried out to God when you're sinning? God, help me. I can't do this. I don't want to do this, but my flesh is so weak. Didn't Jesus tell the disciples, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. My sin is wicked. The only hope you have is found in Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, your sin is sending you to hell. Jesus died on the cross so you don't have to go to hell. Jesus took your punishment so you don't have to. But also so you could have hope in this life and a relationship with God and be made right with Him. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. But if you're saved, and like me, maybe you got saved as a 4.5-year-old or a little kid. Maybe you got saved as an adult, but your sin is still wicked. And if we don't let God search our hearts and show us and root out that sin, it will destroy our lives. In Achan's case, it really destroyed his life. And some people, I mean, we can go through life. We may never go to prison. We may never really get caught. But God knows, and there are consequences in my life. And sometimes people may not even know what those tough things. Again, not all tough things are because of sin. But can you look at your life and say, there's this sin I've been struggling with? Is that why you're struggling that way then in life? I don't know. But would you let God show you your sin and root it out? The only way we're going to grow together as a church is as we individually take care of our sin. There's a lot of us in this room. Sadly, there's a lot of sin in this room. Because I know my heart. I hope your heart's not like mine. But sadly, we all have sinners' hearts because we're sinners. So what are you going to do with your sin this week? You might hide it for a while. You may even be able to hide it longer. But it will hurt the people around you. And it will destroy your life. So would you yield it to God? And just a couple minutes, we're going to give you an opportunity just to yield to God. Maybe God would challenge you. And man, you're just like, man, I want to come up front and I want to get it right with God. You don't have to confess your sin to me. I'm not a priest. You have direct access through Jesus Christ to God. And you can confess and forsake and be right with God this morning. That doesn't mean the battle's going to be easy. We're here to help you. You may say, it's just a little sin, but I need help. I need just some practical tools. We're here to help you with that. You may say, man, you don't understand this sin, Pastor Josh. It's just ripping in my heart and I just can't get victory. God's word has the answers for you too. You can confess and forsake this morning and we'd love to show you some truths of how you can get victory this week. Maybe it's just something you know how to have victory. You just need to yield to God in that area. Would you do it this morning?